The boxers have been given their instructions. The seconds are out. The crowd is ready for another edition of Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing with your presenter, the boxing historian, Greg Rashid.
Say sweaty cup to everyone out there. This is Greg Rashid with another edition of the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast. And yes, sweaty cup means hello in Thai. I'm in Bangkok, Thailand. For those of you who are new to the program, but I got so many people that listen in now. I want to thank everyone all over the world. Got some new folks in Belgium that are listening. I want to say hello to all those folks there. Hope you're really enjoying the show. What we do on here is just have a good time. We do fantasy fights. If you're new to the program, I'll just explain it real quickly. We do fantasy fights. We use various PC platforms, sometimes some card and dice games that are connected to boxing. And today, as we usually do, we're going to use a Title Bout Boxing 2, created by the great Jim Trunza. And what we're going to do is that we do what-if fights. Because I know if you're listening to the program, you're a boxing fan. And you love boxing. And I know you sit around sometimes and say, I wonder what would happen if Muhammad Ali fought Mike Tyson or Joe Louis fought Jack Johnson or Tyson Fury fought Rocky Marciano. I know you think about that a lot. So that's what we do on this program. We take bouts that you as promoters of the program, come up with. And then we put them in the computer and we see what happens. We never know. You never know. But as I always say, I could put results in 1,000 times in the computer and it can come out even. It can come out, 70-30, Ali beats Tyson or something like that. But you never know. But it's all about fun, imagination. And that's all we do on here. And besides also doing fantasy fights, we also talk about current events in boxing, also mixed martial arts. And I'm going to start that off today with, Dorothy. And she's going to talk a little bit about what's going on in the world of boxing right now. And I really wish I could say something about the Garcia-Haney fight that is happening. You're probably listening to this on April 20th, and this is taped before the fight, which is on April 20th. So I don't know the results. We'll talk about that the next time we're on the program. But as I said before, I think Haney's going to win that. I think he's going to actually knock him out within 6 rounds. Maybe the 4th round, but definitely he's going to knock him out. I know there's going to be a lot of excuses coming from the Garcia camp saying, well, he was mentally unfit. He wasn't prepared for the fight. But the fact of the matter is the fight is going to happen. And I really said a month ago, I didn't think this fight was going to happen. So I'm really surprised. Well, let's hear Dorothy. She's going to give us some update on a fight, and then we're going to have a new person talking about the fight. So let's hear this on the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast.
Jermell Charlo has reportedly activated his WBA junior middleweight champion in recess spot to be the next opponent for new 154-pound champ Israel Madrimov, cutting off any chances of him defending the belt against Terence Crawford on August 3rd. Dan Raphael reports that Jermell has involved his WBA 154-pound champion in recess to force a fight against Madrimov. This move by the 33-year-old Jermell Charlo blocks His Excellency Turkey Alalsheikh's reported plans to schedule a fight between Crawford and Madrimov for August 3rd in Los Angeles. Some fans see this move by Jermell as a way for PBC to block Crawford from fighting Madrimov and retaliate against Crawford for beating Errol Spence. One possibility is that PBC feels that if Jermell beats Madrimov, it gives him a valuable pawn to lure Crawford into fighting him. Right now, Crawford is not interested in fighting Jermell after watching his poor performance in his loss to Canelo Alvarez. After Jermell's lack of effort to win, Crawford lost interest in fighting him. But if Jermell can beat Madrimov to capture his WBA 154-pound title, he'll have something to lure Crawford. Now, the question is, will Alalshikh be willing to invest massive money in a fight between Charlo and Madrimov on the same August 3rd date? Given that Jermell was soundly beaten by undisputed super middleweight champion Canelo Alvarez in his last fight in September 2023, it might not be worth investing money in a fight between Charlo and Madrimov. The problem is that Jermell looked like he didn't even try to win. He was fighting scared and appeared to some fans to be there just for the payday against Canelo. Given that poor non-effort from Jermell, would Alalshikh be willing to pay for a fight involving him and Madrimov? Crawford's uncertain future. It's unclear who Crawford will fight next if the Madrimov fight is off the table. If the WBO strips Sebastian Fundora of his 154-pound title, Crawford could fight Josh Kelly for that belt. It's a fight that wouldn't bring in a lot of money for Crawford unless Alalshikh shows interest. This week, it was announced that undisputed junior welterweight champion Katie Taylor would head to Arlington, Texas, to rematch Amanda Serrano as the chief support for Jake Paul's showcase fight with former heavyweight champion Mike Tyson on July 20. The event will be broadcast on Netflix and promoted by Paul's MVP Promotions. The fight will also mark the first time Taylor has appeared on a bill without Matchroom Boxing being involved in some capacity. In a recent interview with Boxing Social, Matchroom chairman Eddie Hearn admitted that the offer for Taylor to rematch Serrano was too good to turn down. "We negotiated the whole fight because it was the right opportunity for Katie Taylor," Hearn told Boxing Social. "It was the right offer, and I want to thank Dazen for allowing us to have that sensible conversation to say, look, let's let her get the win here and then we'll be back for a big fight. But at this point in her career, when we receive an offer like that, the right offer, we have to consider it. Sean Palmer did a great job negotiating with Nakisa, Bidarian, and MVP, and Brian Peters did a great job. It's just honesty to say this is a good offer. We believe we can win the fight, so let's take it. I'm not involved from a promotional point of view, but we'll be backing Taylor 100%, and we expect to come through." Hearn, who has handled Taylor's professional career since her decision to turn professional in November 2016, is already plotting the undisputed champion's next moves. At the turn of 2024, it was expected that Taylor would face Chantel Cameron in a trilogy fight following their back-to-back contests in 2023, with each fighter holding one victory over the other. Despite Matchroom's best efforts, no deal could be agreed upon, as Cameron pointed the finger of blame firmly in the direction of Taylor and manager Peters. Hearn added that Taylor is now targeting the biggest fights possible and has touted Alicia Baumgardner and Chantel Cameron as future opponents. "Financially, this was a big opportunity," Hearn said of the Serrano rematch. "We like the fight. She wants to be in the biggest fights out there. Simple as that. Once she beats Amanda Serrano, Katie Taylor is going to be back against the likes of Chantel Cameron, Alicia Baumgardner."
Hope you enjoyed that latest news there. And by the way, that was our new reporter, Danielle. And I thought I'd throw her in there before I bring Dorothy back. In fact, we'll bring Dorothy now. She's going to talk a little bit about, I think she's going to be talking about Deontay Wilder. So let's hear what Dorothy has to say.
Deontay Wilder will fight Zhilei Zhang in a heavyweight contest on the undercard of the Artur Beterbiev versus Dmitry Bivol light heavyweight world title fight. Beterbiev, the unified WBC, WBO, and IBF champion, takes on WBA titleist Bivol for the undisputed crown on June 1st. On the same bill, Wilder, a former WBC heavyweight world champion, will make a comeback against China's dangerous Zhilei Zhang. Zhang stopped Joe Joyce in impressive style in two consecutive fights before being upset by Joseph Parker. Wilder, who fought a thrilling trilogy with Tyson Fury, also suffered a shock defeat to Parker moments before he was due to announce a now-cancelled showdown with Anthony Joshua. Taking on Zhang in another high-stakes bout offers Wilder the chance to put himself back in the reckoning in the upper echelons of the heavyweight division. "I feel good. It's a blessing just to be back," Wilder said. "I'm looking forward to the fight. I respect Zhang. He's a good fighter, and I respect him for that. It's my time. I've been through a lot. I've had to regroup and get myself together." He continued, "I'm at this point of time where I've narrowed it down, and come the night of the fight, we'll see if I've got it or not. My last stand, my last chance. I'm just ready to do what I'm known to do, to be the Wilder that I am." In the main event, Beterbiev, who has been so impressive amassing title belts and knocking out every professional opponent he has faced so far, goes into the most significant fight of his career, taking on high-caliber rival champion Bivol for the undisputed championship. A man of few words, Beterbiev didn't feel the need to send a message to his rival. "He knows already," he said with quiet menace. "He knows." Bivol feels that he is on the cusp of realizing his dream. "Of course I'm happy, because when I signed the contract to be a pro boxer, I had a goal, to be undisputed champion," he said. "Even the fight against Canelo, it was my ticket to big fights. Now I'm happy. I love challenges. I love to be tested," he continued. "I have good skills. I just believe in my skills. 28 years I'm in boxing. I'm in boxing since I remember myself. I love the sport. I think it could help me, my experience, my mentality, and my skills. I just believe that I will be undisputed."
Thank you so much, Dorothy, for that. Enjoy the latest information out there. But, you know, I got to admit, Danielle, she really flows in the way she talks. And she probably will be doing more of the news on here. And something else, we're going to have a new feature on here before we get to the fight. This is a This Day in Boxing History. Very brief feature, and we're going to have Danielle talk about what's going on. And it's going to be April the 20th, and it's 1902. So let's hear what she has to say about that.
On April 20th, 1902, a dentist in London named Jack Marlis invented the very first mouth guard for boxers. The mouth guards were designed to be worn during training sessions as a way to protect the teeth of fighters. Welterweight fighter Ted Kidd Lewis was the first boxer who used one of these protective mouth guards in the ring in 1913. From then on, mouth guards became pretty popular and gained huge acclaim in boxing.
And sometimes with my old mic, I think I'm using a mouth guard. But anyway, and this new mic, I hope you can hear me better. Hope everything sounds better. You know, I got this new mic, and it's because of folks like you. You know, if you want to continue as far as supporting the program, being a promoter, go to my Patreon site, look for Nourished by History, then look for Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast, and contribute $1 a month, whatever you can do to keep the show going, so we can keep the lights on, keep everything going here. Buy an even better mic than this one we have right now. Also, maybe get a laptop, you know, whatever we can do. Because we want to do the best for our fans out there, the folks that support this show, because this is your show. Also, you can go to Buy Me a Coffee, look for Nourished by History, then look for Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast, and contribute what you can to keep us going. Because we depend on your support to keep us going here on this program. Because we love doing it. We love bringing fun. And in this world right now with so much going on, the threat of, you know, dare I say, a major, major war. You know, we need to just have something to escape and relax. And I hope with this program we're able to do that. And I believe that we are. But we're going to get to our main event right now. This is going to be a heavyweight fight. 10 rounds between Ernie Shavers and Elmer Ray. Now, I know a lot of you probably know who Ernie Shavers is, but some of you may not know Elmer Ray. He was the Ernie Shavers of the 30s and 40s. One of the hardest hitters, not only in heavyweight boxing, but in boxing in general. Ring Magazine did a study a number of years ago where they ranked the 100 top hardest hitting punchers in all divisions. And Shavers and Elmer Ray were in that. These guys can hit, and I don't know if this is going to last that long. It's supposed to be 10 rounds, but we never know. You never know. But we're, you know, one thing about this fight, it's going to be action packed. So we're going to go down to the arena, and we'll have right now the one and only Knockout Nigel. Commentate on this event. Take it away, Knockout.
Cheers. This is Knockout Nigel, your announcer for this evening's bout from the Blue Horizon in downtown Philadelphia. We have a standing room only crowd of 1,400 to witness what I can only describe as a rocking sock'em robot battle between two of the deadliest punches ever in boxing history. I'm talking about these two great heavyweight sluggers, Elmer Violent Ray and Ernie the Black Destroyer Shavers. The Ring magazine had these two on their list of the 100 hardest punches all time in boxing history. This 10-round fight will be scored on the 10-point must system. The judges are Lou Magnolia, Ronnie Burns, and Carol Polis. The arbitrator in the squared circle will be Zach Clayton. If anyone thinks this is going to be a display of slick boxing, forget about it. These blokes will be swinging for the fences, looking for a knockout. I am going to knock down a quick swig of bubbly as the bell sounds for round one. The boxers plod out to ring center. Ray throws a double left jab for 2 points. Shavers lands a clubbing 2-point left hook. Ray misses with a wild left hand. Shavers ducks down and lands a crushing right hook that knocks Ray down for 6 points. The ref begins the count. Ray is crawling on the mat and grabs the top ropes. He steadies himself up as the count reaches 8. Referee Clayton is asking Ray if he can continue. He nods his head yes. Many in the crowd were settling in their seats as the knockdown occurred. This bout may not last long. Shavers misses with a right uppercut and left cross. Shavers is overly anxious to get this one over with. Shavers is slightly off balance after those attempts. Ray counters with a devastating left cross for 6 points that drops Shavers to the canvas like a sack of potatoes. My word! Will Ernie get up from that? Shavers jumps up before the ref can count to 2. Shavers falls back into the ropes above the media table. Referee Clayton asks if he can continue. Shavers' corner is screaming at him to wake up. Shavers stumbles forward but says he is fine. Ray scores a 4 points left cross that has Shavers on his heels. Ray scores with a 5-point right uppercut that snaps Shavers' head back. I don't think he will last the round. The crowd is in a frenzy, smelling blood. Shavers lands a 5-point right cross that knocks Ray into the neutral corner. Ray appears out on his feet. Where did Shavers get the second win? Shavers lands a clubbing left for 5 points that buckles Ray's knees. Ray can't escape Shavers' blows. The bell has sounded to end round one. The crowd is giving the fighters a standing O. Both boys had their moments in the first. I give Shavers a slight edge. Shavers had 18 points to 17 for Ray. I need a double swig of bubbly as round two begins. Ray misses with a left uppercut at center ring. Shavers counters with a 2-point left cross. Ray lands a 3-point combination, 2-point left uppercut, and 3-point left jab. Shavers clinches. Ray is demonstrating some surprising boxing skills. He is not just a slugger. On the other hand, Shavers is always looking for the home run. Ray misses a left hook. Shavers misses a wild counter right hook. Ray counters with a 3-point left hook. Shavers lands a 3-point left hook and a 3-point right cross. Ray is on wobbly legs after those punches. Even Shavers misses hurt. Ray clinches and holds on until the bell sounds to end round two. Ray was the aggressor early, but Shavers came on in the last minute. Round two was scored 13 points for Ray, while Shavers had 8 points. Both fighters are breathing heavily in their corners. I wonder if they will have the energy to get off their stools to begin round three. But I got more energy to dip into a little bubbly as round three begins. Ray comes out and then lands a 3-point left cross. Shavers lands a 4-point left hook that knocks Ray into the ropes. Shavers digs a 2-point right hook to the body. Ray bounces off the ropes and scores a 4-point left cross that staggers Shavers. Ray lands a 3-point left uppercut and 3-point right hook. Shavers' legs look like jelly. Shavers misses with a wild right cross, then clinches. Referee Clayton separates the fighters. Shavers lands a 2-point left uppercut. Ray lands a crushing 6-point left hook that knocks down Shavers. I don't know if Shavers will get up from that one. Somehow Shavers gets back to his feet at the count of 7 and falls into the ropes. The ref rushes over to see if Shavers can continue. He says he can, so the fight goes on. Ray immediately scores another 6-point left hook. Shavers' right knee almost touched the mat as the bell sounds to end round three. I don't know if Shavers has much left in his tank. While Ray is looking fresh again, Shavers looks like he is ready to sleep on his stool. Ray dominated that round. Ray had 26 points to 8 points for Shavers. I would give Ernie a little bubbly, but I would be suspended if I did so. So I will take a double shot of bubbly for Ernie. Shavers staggers out and clinches Ray. Shavers is already out on his feet without a punch being thrown. The ref breaks the fighters. Immediately, Shavers clinches again. Referee Zach Clayton breaks the fighters and issues a strong warning to Shavers for holding. I see someone in Shavers' corner is holding a towel. Are they going to end the fight now? Ray misses with a right cross, but lands a 3-point left uppercut that snaps Shavers' head back. Shavers is ready to go. Ray lands another left uppercut for 2 points. Shavers grabs Ray and wrestles him into the neutral corner. Ref Clayton calls time. He has docked a point for Shavers for holding. Shavers nods his head and then staggers back into the ropes. Shavers is out on his feet. Ray loads up on a big left hand that barely misses Shavers as the bell sounds to end round four. Shavers falls into his corner. His corner grabs him and helps him to sit on his stool. They should call it a day for their fighter. Shavers did not attempt to throw a punch in the fourth. He has no energy left to fight. Ray easily won the round. Ray had 9-0 for Shavers. I am wondering about the logic of the Shavers corner. Do they care about his safety? This man is dead tired. But I am not tired of another swig of bubbly as round five begins. Shavers is on unsteady feet as he meets Ray at ring center. Shavers attempts a weak left hook that misses by a mile. Ray lands a crushing 3-point left cross that knocks Shavers down. This may be it for Shavers. Wow. Somehow Shavers staggers back up to his feet at the four count. He is asked if he can continue. Some crowd members are asking that the fight be stopped. Shavers is on shaky legs but is allowed to continue. Shavers throws a low blow and Ray retaliates with a low blow. The ref calls time and tells the fighters to stop the dirty stuff. Ray scores a 5-point left hook and a 5-point left uppercut that knocks Shavers down again. Shavers somehow jumps up as the count reaches 2. Shavers says he is fine as the bells sound to end round 5. I try my best to be impartial, but for the love of God, somebody please stop this fight. What is wrong with Shavers' corner? Their man is helpless. He can barely hold his guard up to throw a punch. Ray once again dominated the round. Ray had 17-0 for Shavers. What strategy does Shavers' corner have for their man to win? My strategy as round 6 begins is to have a taste of bubbly. Ray comes out and lands a 2-point left jab and then a 5-point right uppercut that snaps Shavers' head back. His knees are jelly again. Ray follows up with a 3-point left hook. Shavers grabs Ray in a clinch. The ref gives Shavers a standing 8 count. He may stop this. Shavers' corner is begging him not to. The ring doctor is on the ring apron. He may come into the ring to look at Shavers. Shavers misses with a wild left cross that causes him to fall into the ropes. Ray lands a partially blocked left jab for 1 point, a 3-point combo, and a 2-point left jab. Shavers is covering up as the bell sounds to end round 6. Shavers staggers back to his corner. He sits on his stool like a fighter who may not get back up. His corner is screaming at him to start fighting, or they will throw in the towel. Ray's corner is very elated. Ray is smiling and ready to end this. I know I sound like I'm on a repeat cycle, but Ray dominated that round again. Ray had 20 points in round 6-0 for Shavers. I have never been at a bout, amateur or pro, where a fighter has taken such a terrible beating and his corner has refused to call the fight. On the other hand, I will never refuse a sip of bubbly as the bell for round 7 sounds. Shavers retreats into the ropes and beckons Ray to come toward him. Ray moves toward him with a smile on his face. With his back against the ropes, Shavers lands a 3-point left hook, a 2-point right cross, and a 2-point left hook. Ray appears to be stunned. Where has this Shavers been hiding? Shavers scores a 5-clubbing left hook that knocks Ray into the opposite ropes. Shavers moves in and pins Ray against the ropes. Ray looks like he may be hurt. The crowd is screaming this turn of events. Shavers misses with a right uppercut, then lands a brutal left hook for 6 points. Ray topples forward and lands flat on his face on the mat. The ref doesn't even bother to count. Elmer Ray has been knocked out. What a stunning turn of events. At the time of 2:33 of round 7, the winner by knockout is Ernie Shavers. Shavers sinks to his knees in exhaustion. I think Ernie may go to sleep in the ring. Someone get this man a bed. Ray is up on his feet now, but is confused. He is telling the ref he can continue, but his corner is trying to tell him the fight is over. What an exciting fight. This reminds me of Foreman versus Lyle back in the day. I will now return you to our Bangkok studio. This is your announcer, Knockout Nigel. Cheers.
Boy, what an exciting fight. I mean, my goodness. I mean, it was Rock'em Sock'em Robots. And Ernie, you know, if it was me, I would obviously stop that fight. But, you know, that's boxing. That's boxing. You know, another ref would have stopped it probably in the third round. A decent corner would have stopped it probably in the second round. But, you know, they must have knew something. They must have knew something about Ernie, his second win or whatever Ernie had. And, you know, he was a clubber. He'd knock you out. One punch, that was all it took. And that's what Ernie did. But I hope you enjoyed that fight. You know, we'll have Ernie back on again. We'll have Elmer Ray on sometime, too. Because he's, you know, a heavy hitter. And he was dominating that fight. And I like Ernie Shavers. Elmer Ray, I've never seen film on him, just reading about him over the years. He could box. He could also box. He never got a chance in the 30s and 40s to fight for the heavyweight championship, which was, you know, Joe Louis just basically had that championship. But they did fight in the late 40s, semi-exhibition, and I believe Joe Louis knocked him out. But Elmer Ray, he was something that a lot of other fighters, they didn't want to fight him. Just Joe Walcott fought him a number of times, as a Charles fought him a number of times, and they had a hard time with him. Yeah, so if you don't know much about Elmer Ray, just Google his name, look up his history and all. I mean, just amazing fighter. Someone who I think, even though he was never a champion, his record speaks for itself, and he should be in the Boxing Hall of Fame. But we'll see with that, but hopefully he'll get in there one day. But anyway, I just hope you enjoyed that fight. As I always say on the program, we do the fantasy fights. We talk about boxing news and MMA news. And also we interview authors from time to time, not only in boxing but in other fields, sports, and other things. And we also play music on here. Right now, I'm going to do a music here, and I hope I don't get dinged by, you know, YouTube. We'll see. But right now, I'm going to play right now is The Fabulous Originals, because I know this is how Elmer Ray probably felt. It ain't fair, but in Ernie Shaver's face, it's fun. So let's hear It Ain't Fair, But It's Fun by The Fabulous Originals on the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast.
Yeah. What's up, OV?
What's going on with you, Mr. Sam?
We at it again, ain't we, man?
Yeah, man, we at it one more time.
But I got a new question for you, man.
What's that, man?
How did you sneak and get some?
Man, I tiptoed in it.
You did what?
I tiptoed in it.
Gone. I wish it wants to get it on about 3 in the morning.
So what?
But everybody's home. What did you do?
Oh, man.
When a body's in heat, say a flesh is weak.
Uh-huh.
But the baby won't go to sleep. What did you do?
Well, let me tell you, Sam. She told me come through the back door.
Uh-huh.
He's down the hall real slow.
Oh, man.
Took the shoes off her feet. And then I started to creep. I put her over to the side.
Uh-huh.
I said, girl, you better be quiet.
Oh, boy.
Don't want to disturb the kid.
What you do?
So this is what I did. I tiptoed in it.
Tiptoed in it.
Man, you lie.
I tiptoed in it.
Tiptoed in it.
Boy, you got me
crying. I tiptoed in it.
Tiptoed in it.
Tell me, boy.
I tiptoed in it.
Tiptoed in it.
Tell me, Sam, when she came up to your job,
uh-huh,
why you were working hard,
yeah,
when she winked and gave you. But you wanted to get one in. Tell me, Sam, what did you do?
I'm gonna tell you what. I said, boss, I need to take a break.
What?
'Cause a girl just can't wait.
Oh, man.
I found a room that was empty. I said, girl, you gotta be a quickie. You ain't gotta take off your clothes.
Huh?
And please don't make no noise.
Oh, man.
Behind the door we hid. And this is what I did. I tiptoed.
Suppose we tell you how to track down one of the most satisfactory bargains in the clothing business. Clippercraft concentrates on delivering exactly what you want in your clothes at remarkably low prices for such fine quality. You want long wear? Well, examine the rich, staunchly woven Clippercraft fabrics. You want comfort? You get it in Clippercraft through the most skillful designing experience can bring you. And you want the smartness your friends will admire? Clippercraft brings you all three. Smart styling, long wear, solid comfort, at unbelievably modest prices. It's the result of the unique Clippercraft plan concentrating the buying power of 1036 of the nation's finest stores from coast to coast, and bringing you amazingly fine suits at only $40 and $45. Top coats in fine coverts and worsted gabardine for only $40 and $45. Sport jackets for only $26.50, and smart tropicals at only $33.75 to $40. Yes, selling expensive clothes at inexpensive low prices at the nation's finest stores is the great big idea behind the Clippercraft plan. That's why men who know insist on Clippercraft clothes. So be sure to visit the Clippercraft store in your city.
These leading stores in the metropolitan area are proud to add their names to Clippercraft in your suits, top coats, and sport jackets and tropicals. In Manhattan, John Wanamaker Men's Stores, Broadway at 8th and 67 Liberty Street. Saks 34th, Broadway at 34th. In Brooklyn, Abraham and Strauss. In Newark, New Jersey, Boulevard Men's Shop, Kresge Newark. And in Jamaica, the B&B Clothes Shop, 16408 Jamaica Avenue.
I think I'll go there. I'll just leave Thailand in the next couple of weeks, and I'll just go back to New York and just find me a Clippercraft coat. But anyway, that's hard to say real fast. But anyway, hope you enjoyed the music previously. Hopefully YouTube would not ding me for those two songs. But the last one was Mr. Sam and O.B. Buchanan, and I tiptoed in it. And that probably get me kicked off wherever you're listening to this program. And before that, we did the Fabulous Originals, It Ain't Fair, But It's Fun. And that's what we have on here, just fun. And I hope you enjoyed the show today. Hope you enjoyed the fight between Ernie Shavers and Elmer Ray. We'll have a lot more on there. But as I always say, you are the promoter. You decide the fights, and I'll put them on here. So wherever you listen to the program, be it on my YouTube channel, Nourished by History, on Facebook, on my Facebook channel, on X, I was almost saying Twitter, but I mean X, or wherever you listen, on Sundays at 3 p.m. Mountain Time on KUHS, Denver.com, created by Henry Archer Letta, or if you listen on the Sports History Network, wherever you listen to the program, just drop me a line, as so many people do, and just say, yeah, I want to hear this, and yeah, I'm glad that you put this fight on, and just I love the music, and love the things you talk about as far as upcoming boxing events, because that makes me feel good. It knows, you know, makes us all worthwhile. And I've been doing this for a long, long time. The first time doing this type of show as far as purely fantasy fights and all. But, you know, so far it has been fun. It's been really fun. But, you know, we got to have fun in this world, as I said earlier, you know, what's going on in the world. But anyway, as I always say, this is Greg Rashid. Go in love and go in peace. I'm your presenter today. And every day that you get up, when you get up, go to that mirror and say that you love yourself and just hug yourself. And if you're sight impaired, get up and just hug yourself and say, you love yourself. I just love myself. Because if you don't love yourself, you can't do anything. You can't help anyone. You can't do anything. And unfortunately, we got so many people in this world who don't love themselves, and they believe that war is the only way, fighting is the only way, and that's not the way it is. So wherever you go, in your neighborhood, wherever you are, public transportation, in your car, wherever you may be, bring some positive energy. If you're on a plane traveling to over here to Bangkok, wherever you're going somewhere in Europe, going to America, wherever you are, just bring positive energy. Do what you can to help someone in need, especially a senior, a young person, because we're all in this together. This is our sphere. This is our planet. So do what you can to make it better in your small way, because if we all do just a little bit, just a teeny tiny little bit, we can really help and save things. So again, this is Greg Rashid. Go in love and go in peace. We'll see you next time on the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast. And remember, if you're listening in on YouTube or my Nourished by History channel, please like, comment, share, and subscribe. Really subscribe. You know, I want to get up to over 2,000 subscriptions. I'm almost there, but we need you. And we need you to promote. Again, go to Nourished by History on Patreon. Go to Nourished by History on Buy Me a Coffee. And just do what you can, whatever you can donate will really help keep things going. But again, this is Greg Rashid. Go in love and go in peace. We'll see you next time on the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in, my friends. See you next time for another edition of the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast. Please don't forget to like, share, comment, and subscribe to this podcast. Thanks.